We're from another church visiting today and willing to repent and get right with God. Well, we welcome you all, of course. Tonight I'll be speaking on Israel Will Survive. And the world is saying something quite different at the present time. This has been quite a week, I might add. The United Nations this month is having a bad month. Praise God. But anyway, they had to admit that the number one economy in the world is Israel. They didn't want to, but they had to. God is blessing Israel exactly like he said he would. It doesn't mean that there isn't trouble ahead. There is big time trouble ahead. We're going to talk about it and have a question and answer time for you after the evening service. Now, some of you, I know you quite well. You've been trying to flip in questions already this morning. You almost make me think you're Jewish. I can always tell a Gentile church, you ask people, how are you? And they say, fine, fine. That's all they say. But with my Jewish friends, I ask them, well, how are you? And they say, why do you ask? Why do you think I have a problem asking? No, and I say, before you know it, we're in an argument. We don't know how it happens. It's just a part of our nature. We don't trust Gentiles, which means I'm having a difficult time today. Since I saw you last, I caught malaria, the worst strain of malaria in Central Africa, went into a coma, but God brought us out, and I was ready to go home to be with the Lord. So I recovered from that and went last fall to England, and I caught the worst case of E. coli the world's ever seen. 27,000 men my age are already dead. All the babies are dead who caught it. It then moved, that plague moved to Germany and then to Yemen. I went into a coma again. By the way, don't think people don't hear things in the coma. It was interesting what I heard church members say. Like one lady walked in and she said, oh, he's about dead. And I'm listening and I'm in a coma. Who is that woman? Anyway, I thought I was getting closer to home. I tell you, I sang all kinds of songs, Nearer My God to Thee, Lord, I'm Coming Home. And then God went and healed me, and I have to come and talk to you in Reno? What a bummer, man. Well, it's good to be back home. I've always enjoyed our times here at Reno and my good friend Pastor Tom and all the staff here. And it's a blessed church to be a part of. God bless you all. I am kind of sad this morning. I was in Dayton Valley. There were more people in the meeting than live in the town. But they bought all of our brand new book, Israel, Chosen by God. I couldn't wait to have it here for you today. Then we went to Carson City Friday night, and it was packed out, and they bought all those books. So we don't have any this morning. We had a box that was sent by FedEx, and they're trying to tell us they don't know where it is. So, we have some papers out on the book table, and we'll pay the shipping. All you need to do, sign up, pay for the book, and we'll ship it to you free. Believe me, you're going to love this book. Everywhere we've gone, we've sold it out. The Jewish community is very excited about it. It tells about the existence of Israel. Where did it come from? Israel was not one of the 70 nations after the flood. And Isaiah 43:1 says God created her. And the Hebrew word is bara. Same one as Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Bara is ex nihilo. It's without any previous existing materials. And according to the Bible, that's how God created Israel. Nobody's really sure who a Jew is. Amen? Oh, it is a problem. People are going to laboratories to see if they have these special chromosomes, all of that. All you have to do is read the Bible. You see, thank you very much. One Jew. Anyway, believe it or not, the Bible tells you how God sanctified, which means set apart, Jews from the rest of the world. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. There's no red, yellow, black, white stuff, so get that out of your life. You're either a Jew or you're a Gentile. Well, how do you know who's a Jew? Because they come, according to the Bible, from all nations on the earth. One man recently told me that he knows, he lived in New York, he knows who the Jews are. They are short, fat, stubborn, big noses, and they push and shove on the subways of New York. I said, no kidding. I said, well, that's really something, because they won the European basketball championship the last 2 years in a row. Those short, fat guys can really jump. No, they come from all over the world. We have black Jews, Chinese Jews. We have them everywhere. In fact, God said he'd have a Jew in Israel from every nation on earth before the Messiah returns. Wow. Well, how many nations are they? Well, if you read Verizon's billboard, it says 220 nations. There are not 220 nations. I don't know who sold them that billboard. Maybe they're putting a phone service on the moon already. I don't know. But there's only 193, and the latest one was made in August, South Sudan, and it's for Christians. And now, since January, the North has been slaughtering them at an unbelievable rate. Women, children, everybody. Nobody's even paying attention to it. They're all concerned with Syria that continues to slaughter their own people. There's only one safe place for people in this world. It's called Israel. Boy, you're awfully quiet, and God likes that. If I were you, I would have shouted glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. God be praised. Otherwise, he could zap you right where you're sitting, and it's goodbye. Do you understand what I just said? Amen. There's two. Boy, I tell you, revival's sweeping here in Reno. Okay. All right, enough of that. But that book's called Israel, Chosen by God. Rabbis have already said it's an amazing book. Not only talks about the existence of Israel, but it also talks about the whole history of Israel. Goes completely through, all the way to the present day. Already got an award for the chapter called 1948. You want to know what really happened? Get the book. And then the final section of the book is on all the prophecies of God about Israel. And that's enough to make you want to go home to be with the Lord. Well, there's a couple of the things that I'll emphasize and then shut up about it. I am a pre-tribulationist. If you're not, I'll explain it to you on the way up. The case for pre-tribulationalism, I've debated this matter for many, many years. It's a simple booklet. The last argument of the booklet is undeniable. The leading post-tribulationist in America says if David is right on that last argument, we all have to be pre-tribulationists. Find out what he meant. I wrote a little booklet recently because very few things are understandable about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the eternal capital of Israel. And in this book, I talk about biblical roots, history, and all of its future. I recommend that little book to you. Those are back there. And if you want to really know about the Messiah, there's one book God gave you in the New Testament. It's called Hebrews, the Messiah of Israel in Hebrews. Stop saying all you have to do is believe in Jesus. There are thousands of guys in Mexico named Jesus, and they can't save you. You better know who he is, because you have to believe he is the Messiah of Israel. I have people questioning that all the time. No, the Bible's clear. Read John 20, 30, and 31. You must believe he's the Messiah in order to have life through his name. Having said that, take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. Shortly now, we'll have, Lord willing, the entire series of Jeremiah, which has taken me a year and a half to finish, and it will be out on MP3. By the way, Ezekiel is done. And I think there's only two MP3 left. You know, those people down in Dayton Valley in Carson City have no love for you at all. They bought everything, and you know, I don't know what's going on. But anyway, Jeremiah has a section of the book that I call A Comfort of Israel. It's chapter 30 through chapter 33. But in chapter 31, it speaks about the new covenant. We all rejoice in that. Every communion service, we remind ourselves of it. But maybe we've forgotten that the new covenant was given to Israel. not to us. Gentiles got in by the skin of their teeth. They had to have a church council to work it out. And now the Gentiles have taken over. They're serving ham at the church picnic. Some of you don't even know why that's important. Jeremiah 31, I'm going to just pick up a section that begins at verse 35, following the discussion of a new covenant where God will never remember their sins against them anymore. Jeremiah 31:35, thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar. The Lord of hosts, Sabaoth, not Sabbath, but Sabaoth, the Hebrew word for armies. The Lord of armies is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, which of course it can't, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Lord, we need your help, the help of your Holy Spirit. God, help us to say what is true, what your word teaches. For it's the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible that we desperately need in our day. Help us, Lord, to understand the issue about Israel in the last days. Open our minds and our hearts. I pray for those who've walked into the meeting, perhaps invited by a friend or came on their own, and they're not really sure of their relationship to you. God, I pray this might be the day of salvation and hope, a day that they longed, wondered about. Help them, Lord, to turn to you before it's too late. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Now, the term Israel is used about 2,566 times in the Bible. That's more than any other subject next to the Lord himself. But amazingly so, there are misunderstandings, various interpretations of this unique word we call Israel. And it moves us to a careful investigation of how, in fact, it's used in the Bible. I'll put it up there on the screen, the state of Israel in the last days. The last days began on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2. The Bible says so. It will continue to the end of the tribulation period, the day of the Lord, the day of God's vengeance. And during those last days, God is pouring out his Spirit on the Gentile world as well. It started with the pouring out of the Spirit on the Jews. And it will end with the pouring out of the Spirit on the Jews. In between, God, by his powerful Holy Spirit, is bringing a multitude that no man can name out of the Gentile world. And it's a prophecy given to the Jews that the Gentiles would in fact come to know the Lord in the last days. But the question is, what's the state of Israel? Because in this time period has also arisen one of the most difficult subjects that now controls, they tell us, 90% of all teachers and preachers in American and Canadian churches. We call it replacement theology. They don't. They give it other names. But they actually believe the church has replaced Israel in God's prophetic plan. We're going to look at that. I'm going to deal with three things, but a lot of things under it. But if you want to jot them down now, here are three things I want to deal with about Israel in the last days. There'll be much more tonight as well. Number one, the confusion about the meaning of Israel. I want to quickly take care of that, hopefully open some hearts. Number two, I want to look at the conflict over the land that is now dominating political and global discussions in our world. And the third thing, which is crucial to all of us who love the Lord, is the concern about Israel's survival. And it appears that has kind of gone out the window. Over 25 years ago at a major conference, I mentioned that I believe on the basis of Bible prophecy and teaching of the Word of God that Israel will become the dividing point of the churches. I never knew really the impact of what I was saying because we've seen it pretty rapidly now, and it is dividing churches, dividing believers from one another. It is a serious subject. Every major denomination at their annual conferences has been dealing with Israel, many of them boycotting their goods and telling people not to give to anything that's Israeli or Jewish. Well, I'm disturbed. I'm disturbed to the point that if I lose my teeth, I'm still going to gum it to death. I'm not stopping. This is a serious time. We are getting ready for the coming of the Lord. And it's interesting to me to watch these two things come together. So let's start about confusion. Let's put it up there. Confusion. Well, I already mentioned that. Keep moving. Term Israel 22,566 times. There it is. But you jumped over a point. There it is. There's confusion in our land and our churches about the meaning of Israel. I believe in the Bible it refers to seven things. Let's enumerate them quickly. Number one, it refers to a new name for Abraham's grandson, Jacob. You remember that, Genesis 32. Your name will no longer be Yaakov, but it'll be Israel. We're not sure what it means. El is God, of course. But the Isra, what does that mean? Some say it comes from the Hebrew word sar, which means prince. Jews like that, but you can't prove it. Isra is also the word for struggle, and that's where this came out of, as Jacob was wrestling with that angel of the Lord that night. Number two, the word refers to the 12 tribes who descended from the sons of Jacob. This is the first mention of the children of Israel, Genesis 49 and verse 28. They are prophecies about Jacob, who is Israel. Number three, here's an interesting thing as to what's going on in America. On radio and TV, preachers will often speak, here's a word to write down, to notice. They will say, the people of God. Now, I believe in the people of God, and it's mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2. But the fact is that they mean something that you may not know they mean. It is used by many who are preterists, a Latin word meaning past, for arguing that the church has replaced Israel or that there's just one people of God throughout history. They don't separate Jews from Gentiles or the church of God. It's the people of God. And that's their argument. The children of Israel is being used by major denominations to refer to believers today who are Gentiles. I've looked up all 644 times which the children of Israel is used, 14 usages in the New Testament. I know the in-depth meaning of it now. The children of Israel means the children of Israel. Hello? A young reporter, journalist, came up to our presidential candidate, Mitt Romney, who's a Mormon. And this young guy didn't know about political tact or anything. First thing he asked him was, do you really believe you are a child of Israel? He didn't want to answer the question. Well, there are some bigger questions than that. Well, how about, do you still believe that Salt Lake City is the Jerusalem that's coming? He said, I've been there. I didn't know that Burger King and McDonald's were in the New Jerusalem. Mitt Romney is obviously getting a little aggravated. He says, son, there are more important issues. Well, I have one. I'll just leave you with one. He said, what's that? Do you really believe that Jesus is the brother of Satan? At that point, Mr. Romney took off. This kid was running after him. That's false doctrine. That's heresy. I want to vote for you, but you got to get straight on this. Obviously, he had no political tact. And if you're a Democrat, you probably clapped at that. We won't begin to talk about your candidate. Number four. It refers, look at this carefully, please. The name Israel refers to a nation that was given the 613 commandments of God. Not 10, 613. Clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 4, that argument is there. Many of those who do not believe what I'm saying today will tell you that the word nation is not important. Well, sure it is. They also don't like the next one. Number five, the word Israel refers to the land which was promised to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There are several passages. Often they will say, well, that was Genesis before the law. That has nothing to do with today. Wrong. Go down 1,000 years to Psalm 105 and you'll see the same thing. And the Bible says it is a covenant of God. The land is a covenant of God forever. It belongs to the children of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number six, it also refers to 10 northern tribes. When Israel split from the United Kingdom after Saul, David, and Solomon, we then had the two southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, or Benjamin, making up the south, and the 10 northern tribes. The interesting thing is the 10 northern tribes went into captivity to Assyria in 722 B.C. It wasn't until 586 B.C. that Jerusalem was destroyed, Judah, and the Bible says all the cities and the houses in the city were wiped out. Once you know that, then pick up the book of Lamentations and read what the children of Israel thought when Jerusalem was destroyed. They thought because it was the holy city, the city of David. They thought because Jerusalem was mentioned over 900 times in the Bible, that surely God would never destroy it. And there were false prophets telling them that. But God's not the author of confusion, nor does he tolerate wickedness. And he brought judgment upon Judah and Jerusalem in 586 B.C. The book of Lamentations, that is not the title of it. But since a lot of us don't read Hebrew, nobody thinks about it. The title of that book is Echah. You say, what does that mean? It's the first word in Lamentations. How? They keep asking it. How does this city, the beauty of the earth and the joy of the whole earth, sit in ruins? Is it nothing to you who pass by? Don't you see what's happened to us? And that little five-chapter book is for us today. That was written for our admonition and learning upon whom the ends of the world are come. God wants us to know that just because we're in America, we are not privileged. Just because we had a great start and a lot of men who loved the Lord and, by the way, loved Israel. Dr. Michael Oren is the Israeli ambassador to our country. A brilliant guy, wonderful guy. He's written a doctoral dissertation at Harvard on presidential support of Israel from George Washington to Barack Obama. That story is one of the greatest stories I have ever read. He has full documentation there showing us that what we've been told in our country, and especially in recent years, is a lie. Our textbooks have been changed. We do not know that George Washington actually started the Palestinian Restoration Society, which was to give the homeland of the land of Israel back to the Jewish people. Every president except two supported Israel, including that cigar-smoking, swearing Baptist named President Harry S. Truman. His cabinet said, don't do it. The Congress said, don't do it. He said, I have to do it. It's in the Bible. And he declared only 2 minutes after David Ben-Gurion's speech to the world that the name of this new country will be Eretz Israel, like Ezekiel the prophet predicted, not just Israel. Have you noticed in all papers, all discussions, they do not give the first name. Why? It's the word land. The name of that is the land of Israel. And Harry Truman recognized that. We thank him for it. There are only two presidents who have not been supportive of Israel, for your information. One was President Jimmy Carter, and the other one is our current president, Barack Obama. The evidence is there, overwhelming. Be careful you don't get deceived by pre-election talk. Watch out. The land, there were 10 northern tribes, and number 7, watch out for this one. It refers to Jews who become believers in the Messiah. Turn to Galatians 6:16. This is actually used against this argument. Galatians 6:16. Verse 15 says, in Christ Jesus, in Mashiach, Yeshua, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Now look at verse 16 carefully in your Bibles. I'm reading out of the old King James as an old person. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Now all Bible commentaries speak of the area of Galatia as being Gentile. And it was. You could study Acts on that one. If you walk according to this rule, that circumcision does not count in the salvation God has brought, then peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. Our preterist friends say, well, that means that the church is the Israel of God. I just listened to Dr. John Piper on the radio, good Bible teacher, except when he comes to Israel. And he said, look at verse 16 carefully. And the Bible says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, the Israel of God. Ah, he left something out. He left the repetition of the conjunction and the preposition translated upon. Why is that important? Because grammatically it means there are two groups of people being discussed. The first group are Gentile Messianic believers. The last one are Jewish Messianic believers. They are called the Israel of God. By the way, according to the Bible, God refers to himself as the God of Israel 203 times, as the Lord God of Israel 108 times, and not once does he identify himself with any other country. Wow. Out of the 145 usages of the word nation in the Bible, 55 of them are stated in the passage where they appear to be Israel. It is impossible, people, to spiritualize or allegorize the term Israel when it speaks of a nation and a land. Now, this is simply trying to clear up the confusion about the meaning of Israel. If you are Jewish and you are a believer in the Messiah, our Lord Yeshua, you are the Israel of God. There are Jews and Gentiles both in the body of Christ. We have been made one by the Lord Jesus himself. Amen? We need to understand terms and be very, very careful. The Jewish Messianic movement, I'm also a part of that, has a lot of problems because we have 85% of people attending these assemblies who are Gentiles trying to play Jew. We have guys who are acting like Jewish rabbis when they're really Gentile. This is hypocritical and manipulative, and we do not stand for that. A Jewish Messianic congregation should be like a halfway house, a way for Jews to get comfortable with the teaching of the Bible and to finally be in a regular church. Jews and Gentiles in the church of Jesus Christ. But Jews are afraid of you because they know what the Gentiles did throughout history to them. By the way, every time I'm in Israel, I'm friends with members of the government, but every time I'm there, they keep asking me about replacement theology. Why are the evangelical churches which supposedly support us thinking that God's word does not teach that we are forever on this planet? And we discuss it over and over again. The real problem, folks, if we want to get away all the spiritual talk, excuse me for that, but it's true. There's a lot of spiritual talk about theologically, what does it mean? Get rid of that for a moment. And now give you number two issue of this morning. There's conflict over the land. The bottom line of why we're having trouble is the issue of the land. It always has been. And it's getting worse among evangelicals. I've been preaching in Canada for many years now. We have a separate ministry called Hope for Today Canada with a Canadian board, etc. And going up there and preaching as I do about it, Canada was filled with replacement theology people. In fact, in the province of Manitoba, where Winnipeg is the capital, Winnipeg is filled with Mennonites who, in fact, run and control the Human Rights Commission of the United Nations. They've tried to stop people from coming to our meetings and from being on the radio. It hasn't worked. So let me tell you what God did. I believe in prayer. I believe God answers prayer. Don't you? Can he pray? Can he do anything? Shall not the Lord of all the earth do right? I mean, I think about this all the time. So I start telling the Canadians that God doesn't save with many. He saves by few. We need a few people to really call on the Lord, and we can see this whole nation turned from replacement theology back to the support of Israel. Well, guys would come up to me and many pastors and say, David, that's a little much. Well, that was until 2 years ago. 2 years ago at the elections for prime minister, the whole world was shaken, much less the Canadians, as an evangelical, born-again, pro-Israel prime minister was elected, Mr. Stephen Harper. The first day he's in office, he said, Canada will no longer boycott Israel. I have read Genesis 12:3. God says, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse him who curses you. I want Canada to be blessed. And so we are going to start business with Canada. Now Canadians are the almost number one, not quite, in doing business with Israel. Well, 2 years went by, and of course they have election after your 2 year to see if the people really want you to stay. That might be a good idea for us to do. But anyway, they were all shocked again because the length of your term is based upon how many votes you got, and the longest you could be would be another 5 years. Mr. Harper got more votes than anyone in the history of Canada. They are still pro-Israel. So at a conference in Canada, we have one every year, a couple thousand people, and it's interesting, I said, I would not be surprised that the Canadian dollar will be worth more than the U.S. dollar because God's blessing Canada. They didn't actually cheer. They were a little scared of it. So when I left, I was at Winnipeg, Manitoba, and I left and I went to Calgary. And I was in the airport switching planes to come down to Southern California. And I bought a Coke, and it was $2, it said. So I put my two U.S. dollars down, started to walk away with my coat, and the lady said, just a minute, sir. I said, why? What's wrong? You owe me 18 cents. 18 cents? What for? This is Canada, and our dollar is worth more than yours to the tune of 18 cents. Actually, 9 cents per dollar. She said, put the 18 down, you can keep the Coke. She was serious. But she was smiling all the way. She was so happy to be able to do that to some American. Well, there is conflict over the land. There are 1,700 usages of it. That's pretty big. The land of Canaan is used 66 times. The Bible makes it clear the whole land, as it was originally, was given to the children of Israel. Let me tell you quickly what God says about that land. Let's clear up the conflict, and let's send our tape message to Mr. Obama and his administration. Number one, the dimensions of the land were determined by God himself. They go from the river Euphrates, so a rock is going to have to give back half the land. It includes all of Syria, all of Lebanon, all of Jordan. Goes clear down to the Nile River, so Egypt is going to have to give back to Sinai. Trouble down there right now. Israel has gone down there with their IDF forces. I know the commander who's running it, And there's been terrible, terrible skirmishes down the Sinai no one likes to talk about. Egypt has moved the Egyptian troops in there. I think we're headed for some trouble there. Israel's more concerned about Egypt than they are Iran. Iran is a political football. I guess you know that. Number two, the desire of God for the land is constant. Imagine in Deuteronomy 11, 10 to 12, God never takes his eyes off of Israel. Why should we? Number three, the descendants to whom God gave this land are the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's all the scriptures for you to write down or get the tape later. It's unbelievable that people would ignore the vast volume of scripture, most of it in Genesis, about who God gave this land to. Number four is interesting. The declarations of the Lord to the children of Israel when they were in bondage in Egypt are clear, very clear. In fact, in Leviticus chapter 25, we read that the Lord owns the land, that he gave it as a sacred trust and stewardship to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's now their land. That eliminates Ishmael and all 12 sons of the Arab world. This is a very serious issue. It is battled in the United Nations over and over again. There's over 600 pages that I know of in the UN documents about this fact alone. Our team in America was greatly deceived at the Oslo peace process on September 13, 1993. The head of that was Mr. Warren Christopher. Yasser Arafat was alive then, and in that meeting he said that the land belongs to us, not Israel, because when Israel came into the land, the Bible says in Genesis 12, the Canaanite was in the land. He said, we are the descendants of the Canaanites. They took a break. The tension was terrible. During the break, Mrs. Sharia, who was a wonderful spokesman for the Palestinians, she came up to Mr. Arafat and said, Yasser, I don't believe that was a smart idea what you did. He said, what? You told them that we were descendants of the Canaanites. Why is that bad? Because the Bible tells the Jews to kill the Canaanites. It's a true story. He walked back in after the coffee break and said, excuse me, I haven't been speaking real well lately. What I meant was we are descendants of the Philistines. Mrs. Sharia just hung her head. You know, the truth is, there's no such thing as Palestinians. And if you're telling the truth, they're Jews. They've been called that since the 2nd century AD when the Emperor Hadrian named the land Palestina to attack the Jews for thinking they could attack Rome. It's been called that ever since 1948. The Islamic world calls 1948 the Great Tragedy. Israel is celebrating this weekend the War of Liberation. On a Jewish calendar, it's different than the English one. The English one was May 15th in 1948. But it's this weekend on a Jewish calendar. Interesting, this was also the week of the Day of Remembrance, Israel remembering all of the Holocaust victims and soldiers, 23,000 of them, that have been killed since that peace process began. A day of mourning, but now a day of lots of joy as they celebrate the 64th year. It was my privilege to speak to the 60th anniversary of the nation of Israel, to the 40,000 Jews who attended. I'm not a novice to the subject. I'm very concerned about what's going on in our churches. Very concerned. Number five, I hear it all the time. The disobedience of God's people did not forfeit their right to the land in the future. I have pastors telling me, Israel doesn't deserve this. My answer, neither do you. I thank the Lord that God's covenant is not based on the worthiness of Israel. It's not based on human performance either. It's based on God's grace. Well, I'll tell you about that in just a moment. Number six, the decision to give the land to the nation of Israel was based on an everlasting covenant. How can that covenant stop if it's everlasting? I was preaching on eternal life recently in John 10. Jesus said, I give unto you eternal life. You will never perish, neither shall anyone pluck you out of my hand. Guy came up to me and he said, oh, that's silly. You can jump out of his hand. I said, that's not silly. That's ridiculous. Do you know what's in the hand of God? He said, no, what? Well, the Bible has all the galaxies in his hand, outer spaces in his hand. I mean, you might move from knuckle to knuckle, but you're not getting out. It's eternal. How could it ever stop? Oh, I sinned against the Lord. I lost my eternal life. What a joke. It isn't based on you and your performance, thank God. It's based on what you believe about Jesus Christ our Lord. Wow. Number 7, the details of the land's productivity cannot be symbolical. Oh, this is a big subject, and I'll have to come back sometime and tell you more about it. Prophecy is coming true over and over again. Almost every day I speak on it. It's remarkable what has happened. Number eight, the dwelling of Israel in the land in the future is clearly predicted in Bible prophecy. Those who oppose this don't know what to do with this, so they spiritualize it. They allegorize it. Ezekiel 37 is not the nation of Israel coming back to life. It is dealing, in their view, with our future resurrection. No, it's not. Church isn't even mentioned. Israel became like the dry bones across the desert. And the Bible even says in Ezekiel 37:11-14, that God is talking about the nation of Israel and its land. Wow. Number 9, the determination of nations to remove Israel from its land, which is going on right now in our world, will not be successful. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. Do you understand this is an issue? Are you on the Lord's side or not? Do you believe what God said in his word or don't you? Sometimes this issue exposes those who are Christians in name only but have never been born again. Those who are born again know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That we are born again by the incorruptible word of God that lives and abides forever. So what the Bible says is true. I hate this. I hear it all the time. The Bible said it. I believe it. That settles it. What? That's heresy. What nonsense? Whoever came up with that? What you should say is, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. You understand me now? And number 10, the final destiny of Israel is in the land is in the hands of the Lord. And we got to quit right before the most important subject. Where's the pastor? Did the rapture occur? Where's the pastor? Can I take 5 more minutes? Oh, you guys, you don't have anything to do with it. You got nursery problems, babies. I got a lot of little grandchildren. I got to be concerned. Let's put it up here and have you look at it. More about it tonight. There is concern about Israel's survival. Turn in your Bible to Matthew 24, and I'll try to point out to you what the problem is, and it is a hot one, and pastors disagree very sharply over it. And just because you do support Israel doesn't mean you're clear on this at all. This is also the major argument of preterists about the future. Matthew 24:34-35. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The word generation comes from the Greek word genios or genos, and it's used a total of 63 times. But when you put the little pronoun, this generation, which our preterist friends are always emphasizing. That's used 16 times. The question is, how is it used? Turn to chapter 23, please. Jesus is also predicting things here. Verse 34, behold, I send unto you prophets, wise men, scribes. Some of them you'll kill and crucify. Some of them you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel, that's the book of Genesis, unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechias, that's 2 Chronicles, the last book of the Jewish Bible, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon what? This generation. And the very next words identify it. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one that kills the prophets. In other words, the words this generation are not referring to the people that were listening to Jesus. That's the preterist view. Whoever is meant, they're going to exist until all things are fulfilled. That can't refer to the destruction of Jerusalem because some of these things did not occur at that time. Some people say, well, it's a reference to those living in the Great Tribulation. Some believe that. Personally, I think the Bible is absolutely clear. It refers to the nation of Israel during the future Great Tribulation. That's when it's going to look like the world's going to exterminate them off the face of the earth. Satan and all his demonic hordes are going to be behind it, and the world is going to try to destroy Israel once and for all. You maybe know it as the Battle of Armageddon. The Jews are going to be panicking. Half of the city will be taken. The women will all be raped. It's going to be the most terrible time. It's like the Holocaust under Hitler, only now it's worse. All nations will gather against Jerusalem. The Jews will be crying out, we are cut off. Our hope is lost. There is no more hope for us. But guess who's coming to dinner? The Messiah of Israel on a white horse. All the holy angels will be behind him, but they won't be fighting at all. Neither will the body of Jesus Christ be fighting. The Bible says the Messiah is going to do it all by himself. That Israel will become a winepress of God's wrath. The blood will flow to the horse's bridles as he who is Messiah, King of kings and Lord of lords, will slaughter and kill all the nations that tried to hurt his people Israel. Israel will survive. This generation, the word means race, not a number of years, as so many Bible teachers have said. This race of people will never pass away until all of this is fulfilled. Israel's survival, my friends. Ah, man, how are we going to do this? Can you jump down to Israel's survival is based on three things? Keep going, keep going. I already talked about it. There we go. Three things. Are you ready? We got to do this quickly. I'm sorry. We got babies to think about. Number one, it's based on God's foreknowledge. Romans 11:2. Has God cast away his people whom he foreknew? God forbid, certainly not. It will never happen. Number two, God's faithfulness. Psalm 89. He said his people will sin against him and he will judge them. Nevertheless, his compassion will never fail. His faithfulness will never fail. He will keep his promise to King David. Wow. And number three, and I love this, God's forgiveness. That's where we started in this message. You see, I don't care what Israel has done. They've done some pretty terrible things. And so have all of us. But the truth is, as Psalm 86:5 tells us, God is abundant in pardon and very quick to forgive. He doesn't say to you the moment you want to get right with God, well, there's a 6-week course you're going to have to complete before we can accept you. No. You might take the course to understand the Bible, but that is not what gets you into heaven. Except you come as this little child, Jesus said, a little toddler. You will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Humility and brokenness. God doesn't despise a broken spirit. The Bible says he's near to those who are brokenhearted. When we truly confess and repent of our sin, the Messiah's forgiveness is waiting. And it's complete. And he will remember your sins against you no more. Will you bow your heads, please, in prayer? Thank you for your patience. Father, how we thank you for your word. We'd be so lost without it. Lord, I don't know the hearts of these people, but you do. You know how many folks sitting here listening to this have stuff that doesn't belong in their life. They need to get right with you. I thank you, Lord, that you are willing to forgive us. We have sinned greatly against you in thought and word and deed. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you that you love us like you do. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, please don't look around. Maintain privacy for everybody. I'll not embarrass anyone here or call on your name, but I want to give you the opportunity right now to get right with God. Though no one on either side of you knows what you're doing, you do, and God does. And I'm going to ask you right now, it's just a start. It's not everything, but it's a wonderful start. You know things are not right. You know you're not sure. Right now, just lift your hand up to the Lord and at the same time say, God, please help me. I want to, yes, 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 all over. I can't see them all. God bless you. You say, I need to get right with the Lord. Just say it to the Lord. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, yes, yes. Right where you are. Lord, please help me. I need to get straightened out. I need to know your sweet peace and forgiveness and mercy. Yes, God bless you. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, God bless you, sir. Yes, young lady, God bless you. And young man, God bless you too. The Lord knows your heart. Father, I thank you for these. Help them, Lord, to get to a Bible as soon as they can, to look at what you say we need to believe and know and do. God, help them, we pray. In the blessed name of our Lord Yeshua, and all God's people said, amen.